medical evaluation of victims of sexual assault are part of the procedure for the immediate collection of evidence, but court-ordered rape refers to specifically to later body cavity examinations conducted at the request of the assailant to conduct discovery on the body of a person even without his or her consent to such an exam. Lisa has learned that there are numerous children who experience these re-traumatizing exams at the hands of a doctor. See the Villanova report. Lisa is an outspoken advocate for victims' rights and raising consciousness of the presence and impact of this crime. And I am honored and proud to call Lisa my sister. Call her my friend, my fellow advocate. And folks, you are in for a spirited show tonight. Just spirit. We have got an amazing panel already. So let me just go ahead and get our panelists introduced. Just so our panelists are aware, tonight's show is a little different. Normally we have our special guest and then we mute the panel, we mute the mics out. There are certain mics that I will be leaving open tonight as I introduce the panelists because we're going to have a very lively discussion. So again, I'm going a little out of the norm this evening. So work with me. I'm actually going to bring our special guest on first and ask her to introduce who she knows is on the line. And as she introduces who they are, I'll bring them on one at a time as she introduces them. So, Lisa, good evening and welcome.
Charles J. Stecker, Jr., I'm so glad to be on the show tonight. I've been looking forward to this for a really long time. And I'll do the introductions quick. I know it's going to be a big panel, and a lot's going to be said tonight. First, we're going to have Shari Carney, a civil attorney from Santa Monica, California. She herself is an incest survivor, and she's been representing sex crimes victims in her career thus far. She was on Scan Show 2168, that's 2168, if you'd like to hear Shari's story after the show sometime. We're not going to have a lot of time for stories tonight. What we're going to be talking about is legislation on the state level and then legislation on the national level. And the second person that's going to be on the show tonight is one Miss Annalyn Megason, an attorney from Florida, and she's going to be talking about the struggles and obstacles concerning rape victims, adult rape victims, and children and teenage rape victims. Her story concerns having been impregnated by a rapist and the problem she had in the family court when this person came to file a petition to try to get custody of the child that he produced in this violent rape and put her at odds as a defendant trying to protect her child. Then we have myself, of course, talking about the Fourth Amendment violations with these felonies referred to as court-ordered rape. I'm going to be referring to them as sex trafficking. That is a sex trafficking scandal in the court system nationwide, and that's what it is because these third parties are making exorbitant fees from these rapes. And my shows, as you stated, Charlie, are 1662 and 1968. So if anybody wants to hear those shows in preparation for this show, all you have to do is Google court-ordered rape and the number 1662 and or the number 1968. And last but not least is my very good friend, Mr. Randy Burton, of Justice for Children in Houston, Texas, former chief prosecutor in Harris County, Texas. Maybe, 35 years, Randy, give or take? And Randy did a show on Scan as well, and that is show number 1993. That was last October of 2018, and Randy has all these years of experience in the civil courts and as a criminal prosecutor and varied experience as a constitutional attorney, and I've met these folks in my travels, and I thought that they were excellent people, excellent advocates. They're activist attorneys for sure, and I thought they would be a great a group to bring on this show, a dream team, for sure. Probably close to 90 years of legal experience between them. I'm not a lawyer like they are, but I play one on TV. Anyway, I'm going to hand the mic back to you for a minute, Charlie. Thank you. Thank you very much for that.
You're very welcome, and thank you for what you do and what you're doing and for being here this evening and putting together such an amazing panel. And we do have quite the spirit and large panel, so I'm going to go ahead and bring people in one at a time. I would say in no particular order, but I am going to have an order. First, I'm going to introduce my co-host this evening, Tammy out of Florida.
Good evening, Charlie,
Tammy.
And good evening. It's a pleasure to be here. I did call in and support my friend Lisa. We have a huge panel, so I'm looking forward to the show and glad to be here. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. Thank you, and thank you for what you do at NAFSCA each day. And next I'm going to bring in Lisa out of Massachusetts.
Hey, Charlie, it's Lisa Zarcone. I'm glad to be here tonight and to support Lisa. Lisa, hi, how are you tonight?
Hanging in. Thanks for being here, Lisa.
Yes, I'm here to support you, and I'm sorry, I'm looking forward to hearing you tonight.
Yeah, the only thing better than one Lisa is two Lisas, huh?
This is true. Two Lisas, watch out.
Ruh-roh, Raggy, we got to rob them rear. Okay.
That's right.
Well, welcome, Lisa. And next is our co-host in training, working diligently behind the scenes to become a full-fledged host, Laura out of Wisconsin. Hello, Laura. Good evening.
Good evening. I'm looking forward to hearing what Lisa has to say, and would like to admit that I also have been I don't like the word victim of court-ordered rape, so I can relate to the topic.
I hear you. Well, we're going to keep things moving along, Laura. We appreciate you being here this evening. Next, I'm going to bring on, Carol, the Vice President of NAFSCA. I'm going to bring Carol in. Good evening, Carol.
Good evening. This is a special evening. I think that Lisa and I speak 10 times a day. And this is something, this is a wonderful thing that she's brought forth. And I want everyone to listen, and we're going to learn a lot from tonight. And it's a necessary show. That's what it is. It's necessary.
Absolutely.
We're going to learn a lot of things. Yes. So thank you. Go ahead.
You're welcome. Thank you. I do want to say to our special guests that are calling in at the invitation, Lisa, I am not ignoring you. I am going to be bringing you in each one at a time after I get the other panelists. And when I bring you in, I'm actually going to leave your mics open. So I don't want to say our special guests who called in and to support the show and to be on a speaker on the show, I am not ignoring you. Darlene out of Tennessee, you're next. I'm bringing in to say hello.
Hello, everyone. I look forward to this discussion. It sounds very interesting. And there's different ways the government and the justice system can rape us, but sometimes not even wanting to hear our case or doing nothing about it. You know, that's another way, but this is interesting, learning this and learning more, and I look forward to it.
All right, Darlene. Well, thank you for being here. Next is one of our other amazing NAFSCA staff members, co-host, you name it, Joe does it or has done it or will be doing it. Good evening, Joe.
Hi, Charlie. Hi, Lisa. I'm here. I'm supporting you. Thanks for doing this.
Thanks, Joe.
Appreciate it. We're going to bring in Bobby Flay. Oh, no, it's Bobby out of Florida. I thought we had Bobby Flay on the show tonight. Hey, Bobby, good evening.
Hello, Charlie. I'm happy.
Well, Bobby, I just want to say good evening. We have a...
happy to hear Lisa's story again. Yeah, lovely.
Yeah,
thank
we
you.
Have a very, very large panel, so I'm going to keep us real quick
Wonderful.
Here. So, Bobby, thank you so much. I'm going to move on to my next panelist. Let's see. Stacy Stover is calling in out of Kansas. Hello, Stacy.
Hi, Charles. How you doing?
I am blessed and highly favored. You ready for a lot of information tonight? My panelists I'm introducing earlier, I am going to mute your mics. I do have special guest call-ins tonight that we are going to keep their mics open. I will periodically ask them to allow us to have some time to reach out to the panel that are muted, but understand that we may not have a lot of time for that this evening because we do have a lot of special guests calling in in reference to this topic. So thank you to our panelists who are being patiently waiting. So I'm going to begin. I see there's a couple of numbers we don't recognize. That's okay. We'll figure it out. But before I do that, folks, if you're there listening and you want to decide to call in, I'm going to say we do have quite the panel tonight, but I never, ever, ever discourage anyone from calling in. So if you feel led to call in this evening, you hear something you want to talk about, our call-in number is 646-595-2118. Again, that call-in number is 646-595-2118. Yes, Tammy.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. We also have Bill Murray here. He's calling in from Florida. I think you may have skipped over him, but I wanted to let Lisa know the Bill's here.
I didn't skip over him. I was getting ready to go back.
Okay.
I was actually going to bring Bill in and introduce him into the panel of people who are going to stay on. But, okay. Well, Bill, I'm not ignoring you at all. So my first panelist, Lisa had mentioned Sherry. I'm going to bring Sherry on, and we're going to keep her mic on. Good evening, Sherry, and welcome.
Well, thank you for having me. And, oh, my God, you have so much firepower here. This is beyond the dream team. And I'm very excited to be on with my colleagues, Randy Burton. I've known him for, I don't know, 30-something years, and we're just reconnecting. And Annalyn is amazing and off the charts. Lisa is just like a powerhouse, and thank you for having me. I have one quick thing to say, which is I have been told over many years how brave and courageous I am, and it's more like we're going to hope and pray when there's gun violence. So I am, yes, beyond people telling me that I'm courageous and brave for telling my story. I'm into action. What can be done? How do we protect ourselves and the next generation? And it's time to get things done instead of just sort of, you know, hopes and prayers. Yes, we hope and we pray for everyone. So I'm always fired up. So forgive me, but I'm thrilled to be on with everybody. And Lisa's so amazing. Everybody's amazing in your organization. Thank you for having me.
Well, thank you, Sherry, and I can feel your spirit. I can feel your energy, and I know you're part of the army of Lisa that has come on board tonight with the Stop Child Abuse Now radio show. My next special guest, whose mic I will also leave open once I bring him on, is Randy Burton out of Texas. Randy, good evening and welcome.
I'm glad to be here. I'm glad to support my fellow child advocates. Sherry, and of course Lisa, who I've not known as long as I've known Sherry, but she is a powerhouse, and she stands for the proposition that one person can make a difference. She has just done incredible things in the last couple of years.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree with you any more, Randy, and it's good to hear your voice. Please pardon me. I know I have a list here, but there are a couple numbers that I don't recognize, so I'm going to go ahead and ask you, area code 352, if you could introduce yourself, I would greatly appreciate it.
Hi, this is Annalyn Megason. How are you all? Thank you
so
much for having me.
Annalyn.
Hi.
Hello.
Hey, Annalyn.
Good to hear you all here. Hey, Lisa. Hey, Sherry. Hi, Randy. Nice to meet you over a blog radio.
Yes, ma'am. Nice to meet you, too.
We are going to have – did I tell you we were going to have a spirited panel tonight? Let me tell you again. We already have. They are here. All right, let's move along. We have and again, I apologize to these couple I don't recognize. We do have an area code 908. 908 that hasn't been introduced yet. Let's bring this person on. Come on, Mike, fire up.
Hi.
Hi, I'm Greg Gian for Carl. I'm an attorney in New Jersey, in the great state of New Jersey. And I wanted to call and support my friend Lisa, who it's a real honor to know somebody like this.
Oh, thank you. I'm from Phillipsburg, New Jersey. Phillipsburg, New Jersey, the home of our own Dr. Carol Levine. How do you like that? Thanks for being here, Greg. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Lisa. It's my pleasure. I'm anxious to hear the show. I won't go on talking and talking because I want to hear the show and the great panelists that you've got lined up. Thanks, Charles.
Thanks, Greg.
You're welcome. Thank you. Next person I'm going to bring on is our founder of NASCA and president, none other than Bill Murray, who's currently at his Florida home, a NASCA Florida home. Good evening, Bill.
Charlie, thank you very much for hosting the show tonight. We have a giant panel. I know a whole bunch of them, almost all of them. I'm delighted to again present Lisa and Court Ordered Rape, but also we're going to be talking about the civil rights of children, basically, and how they're being denied, which is something I've said over and over and over. So I'm really glad we're dedicating this show at least partly into that subject, too. You can keep my mic closed. I will make a final comment if you leave me a little time at the end, Charlie. But I don't want to interrupt during the conversation when there's so many people here that have a lot to say. So I'll just make a final comment wrapping up the show if you wish.
All right, Bill. Thank you so much. Yeah, we're going to give out our best effort. We do have quite the panel tonight. Appreciate you being here and your patience and waiting to be introduced, Bill. Well, folks, I have introduced all of our current panelists that have called in. If there's someone still expecting to call in, the number 646-595-2118. In the meantime, I'm going to turn the mic over to our ultra special guest, the leader of the band tonight, Lisa from New York City. Lisa, take it away.
I'm taking it away, and I'm glad I ate my Wheaties today. Let me tell you something. I'm going to talk about some of the state legislation that I've been introducing over this past year, and I just want to say I gave a call out to Professor Michelle Madden Dempsey. She's not big on press. I'm hoping she's at least out there listening. The Villanova report on court-ordered rape just turned 1 year old on Sunday, September 15th, and what a year it had, for sure. And if anybody would like to read that report, they can simply Google court-ordered rape, and the first heading they'll see is on the NASCA website. And once you see the name Professor Michelle Madden Dempsey, you'll know you're on the report. Professor Dempsey heads up the Commercial Sexual Exploitation Institute at Villanova Law School. She is a former Chicago prosecutor and a former Oxford professor, and she wrote this horrifying, scathing legal analysis and expose of the practice of court-ordered rape in the U.S. court system. And what was so shocking about it was the number, the percentage of these victims that were children and toddlers. I'm not going to spend too much time on the details of the report itself. It made its rounds. In the first year, some of the legislation that I've had introduced in West Virginia, that made a big splash in February, actually on Valentine's Day. Senate Bill 563 was passed unanimously and unopposed in 3 days. They did a great job with that bill, and that made the press. It hit the Associated Press and so forth, and that bill was important because they had this situation happening in West Virginia, and nobody was doing anything about it. As a matter of fact, the Supreme Court of the state of West Virginia, who, by the way, in parentheses, has all been removed by now, had actually affirmed the right of defense attorneys to go on fishing trips for no reason up women and children's vaginas. This bill, 563, overturned that Supreme Court ruling. Some of the other states that have come on board are California. Liz Fuller of the Women's Caucus didn't need to research this because she was so flabbergasted by the subject. She decided to have this bill packaged and ready to go next session, which should be any day now. I just got a call from Senator John Sabatino's office in Pennsylvania this week. He's in the process of drafting two bills. I don't have the bill numbers now. One of the bills is going to address this issue in the criminal courts. The other bill is going to address the issue in the civil courts. They're slightly different due process issues for those bills. That's the reason they're being introduced separately. in New York, Assemblywoman Michelle Szilagyi is looking at introducing this bill without a companion bill. She, too, was horrified that this was even going on. Washington State Senator Marco Lea, Senate Bill 5282, I never even contacted them, and they introduced the bill. That's how far this report was running around. We had a bill pending in Massachusetts that's kind of gotten lost somewhere. I have to check in with Representative David D. Coast to see what the status is on that. The most important bills that I'd like to speak about this evening are the ones that came out of New Jersey. And I have to say, when I left New Jersey and under the circumstances that I did so, I left a mess there for rape victims especially, and I vowed to try to clean it up. I got in touch with Assemblywoman Carol Murphy in Burlington County. She, in June, introduced Assembly Bill 5646, which will address this issue in the criminal court, and Assembly Bill 5643, which will address this issue in the civil court. If anybody would like to read more articles on this, they can simply Google court-ordered rape NJ, that is, as in New Jersey. You'll see two articles right away, an article that was written by Sergio Bisceo of New Jersey 101.5 titled Sex Crimes Victims Terrorized in Pursuit of Proof. This was an investigative report that named names, as a matter of fact, the judge in Bergen County, New Jersey, Lawrence D. Smith, who wrote four of these court orders. I know Randy has this whole file by now. And an attorney in Morris County, New Jersey, John G. Tinker Jr., who actually contracted and paid for the rape in my case. I'm not going to get much into my story. If you want to hear about that, you can go back to show number 1968. Gerald Cardinale has introduced Senate Bill 4017. I don't know why he only introduced one, but I understand the second companion bill to Carol Murphy's bills are going to be introduced. The second Senate bill is going to be introduced in the next quorum. The differential here is because the due process issues are slightly different in a criminal case where a victim is actually a witness for the state. No court has the authority to order any witness to do anything. Outside of a material witness warrant where they would put a victim in jail for her protection or keep her sequestered for her protection or because they fear that she would flee, other than that, no court has the authority or the right to order these types of medical examinations, a la Larry Nassar, it was called in my travels. For the civil courts, they have to leave a little bit of due process, particularly considering malpractice, medical malpractice cases and this sort of thing. But the bills that Carol Murphy introduced, she did not want to lose any momentum on this issue. And I like her attitude. She said she didn't care if it happened once or 10,000 times. It's not going to happen again. And so if you read the wording of the Assembly Bill 5646 for the criminal court, that's going to be heavily amended and ban these procedures outright in the criminal courts in the state of New Jersey. So I've been trying to get a consensus as to where some of these legislators are going to stand. But as I say, New Jersey is a cesspool for rape victims. The law enforcement is non-existent, and this goes all the way up to the Attorney General's office, who, by the way, and I'm going to start digging into the issue of the federal civil rights protections bill that we're talking about. I've been lobbying to Congress, about two dozen Congress people, to try to get some sort of protections for rape victims, adults and children. Right. And so that said, having worked with Randy for a couple of years now, and I'm so grateful that he came on board for this cause, and I know now he knows that I can deliver the goods, man, and I've done it. And so meeting Sharon and having worked with Annalyn for a couple of years and having many conversations, she's got some vast experience with legislation on the state level, so I thought this would be an awesome group. We've heard people talking about there should be laws for this, there should be laws for that, federal civil rights protection, because they certainly don't have any protections on the state level. And so I didn't want to talk about it anymore. I just want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we're doing.
All right.
Excellent.
Wonderful. Well, we did have a couple folks call in while you were introducing what was going on this evening, Lisa. So I'm going to go ahead and introduce those panelists just in case they are some of the people you were waiting on. And please forgive me for not knowing exactly who you are. I only know that I only have numbers here. So area code 818, I'm going to go ahead and turn on your mic. Can you introduce yourself and tell us where you're from?
It's Sherry Kearney, and I got disconnected from the call, so I called back in.
Welcome back, Sherry. We're going to keep your mic open.
So
well,
there you are.
Welcome
okay.
back, Potter, I guess.
Welcome back.
All right, let me just go into the list. Let me see. We got. I know we have one more. I saw that. Okay. We have William. I'm going to bring him in out of area code 256. Hello, William.
That's,
good evening.
Hello. Good evening. That's Alabama.
Okay. William out of Alabama. Are you one of the special guests that Lisa asked to come on this evening? All right. Well, I'm going to go ahead. I have the people that I believe you said you're going to bring on, so I'll ask you if you'd like to let me know who you want to come or ask them to come on, and we'll get the conversation started.
Well, as I said in the beginning, it's Shari Kearney in Santa Monica, California, Annalyn Megason in Florida, and Randy Burton. And because of their expertise in these specific areas, Shari Kearney, being a civil attorney whose forte is children's civil rights as sex crimes victims, and Annalyn Megason's experience with legislation for rape victims' children and adults, and, of course, Randy being the CEO, founder, and president of Justice for Children, there's a great overlap of experience and knowledge there. And so for this ad hoc committee for helping to introduce this federal legislation, I thought this was an excellent, excellent cross-section. And whoever wants to take the floor first to explain their purview
okay.
and their perception of what this law would look like. I know Shari wrote a law for civil rights in California, so she'd be in the best situation to talk about the actual language.
Okay.
For the language.
Oh, all right.
Okay,
well,
thank you. All right, so hold on a second. So, yeah, let's get this party started. So I did not write civil rights legislation for California that has been introduced yet. I am working on a federal congressional civil rights piece of legislation for survivors of child sexual abuse to be then added onto for adult survivors of gate rape, survivors of any kind of sexual violence, because the person who inspired me was Rosa Parks. She and I were on a television show together, The Five Most Heroic Women in America. I always say they must have been desperate for the guest because I was invited on. And she basically said, your issue of sexual violence and sexual assault and child sexual abuse is a civil right. I think that one of the nice things about classifying sexual violence, particularly child sexual abuse, as a civil right is that it then has tentacles that can be woven in for different issues of all the issues this panel addresses and the guests here, because I would have felt better as a child and as an adult to know that what happened to me was a violation of my human and civil rights. Not just I was some poor kid who, you know, was one in a million that got raped and sexually assaulted as a child and then, you know, campus sexual assault by a law school professor, but that I had and we have human rights to not be sexually violated. And so I began to think about the big picture, which is, why isn't sexual violence a civil right? Why don't we have a human right to be free of it? I think that it would go a long way to broadening out the issue, to making it very understandable
to everyone what this issue is. Because one of the things I always kind of grumble about is that sexual abuse and sexual violence that all of us have either experienced, love a survivor, or involved with is an invisible crime to some extent. It's an invisible injury. And because it's invisible, we are invisible as its survivors. So I think it's critical to make us visible. And what makes us visible is to march, is to advocate for the human and civil right to not be sexually violated. First legislation that's getting started that Annalyn has been incredibly instrumental in. Randy's jumping on board. Lisa's really helped. Because this is all hands on deck, is a federal civil right recognition and legislation that calls child sexual violence to start a violation of child citizens' civil rights. So I'll start it off there, and Annalyn and Randy and Bill and Lisa, feel free to jump in.
Well, if I may, for a moment, this is Charlie, the host tonight. You mentioned Rosa Parks. One of a gentleman I'm connected with was connected with her and Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. His name's Dr. Jesse Epps. He's in the Civil Rights Hall of Fame and the Labor Union Hall of Fame, and he works with me on my inner city and urban youth initiative programs. Dr. Epps was actually the man who asked Dr. King to come to Memphis for the sanitation worker strike, and I'm blessed to have him in my quiver of professionals I reach out to when I have issues. So thank you so much. I love your energy, Sherry, and all the work you're doing.
Thank you.
Annalyn, how about we go?
And this
is
a big thing.
Yeah.
You know, go ahead, Annalyn. None of us can do this alone. If we're going to make something happen for sexual abuse survivors, it has to be all hands on deck. And every survivor that's willing to help, can donate an hour or two, can do work, help Annalyn, Randy, Lisa, me, it's all hands on deck. So, Annalyn, you go. Sorry.
Thank you, Sherry. Thank you for all of that. And this is so encouraging to have so many people coming together to work for a solution, because that's what it's going to take. It's going to take that kind of commitment and dedication, all of us getting together on this, and we will get something done, because we won't stop until that happens. What I've experienced with dealing with rape survivors, right, has a different approach. There is a need for some type of transformation at the federal level, absolutely. There's such a myriad of ways that various states are handling crime victims' rights, specifically for children, especially those who suffered sexual abuse and sexual assault. I work on advocating to terminate the parental rights of rapists. Because in America, rapists are as good as any other dad in America, unless you've got a law preventing that. And that's a problem. I don't know too many dads that want to be in that boat. Do you?
I also want to say that, if I may just toss something in, moms do that as well. That was my sexual assaulter was my mother.
Yes. I am glad that you brought that up, because my model law in Florida that I got passed for terminating parental rights of rapists is gender neutral. So whoever it is, the rapist, male, female, whoever it is, their rights can be terminated in Florida. That was the model law I got passed that I wrote in 2013. It became the basis for the federal Rape Survivor Child Custody Act, which provided an incentive after 2015 out of VAWA funds from the Department of Justice for states to also pass a law that would allow termination of parental rights when a child is conceived due to an act of rape. Of course, it doesn't solve all the rape and violence issues, but the problem here is when you're looking at passing a federal civil rights law, which I've had to deal with over the years, state by state, they have to try to adopt that standard, because that's one of the things that came up, is you have the federal law in place since 2015. I'm still trying to get states to get on board with it.
But you know what? What's really good, Annalyn, is that it's like dominoes. It's like what Lisa described in terms of court-ordered rape. It's like first you can't get anybody on board, and then suddenly
one domino goes, and the next domino goes, and the next domino goes. So
exactly.
All of us pulling together and requiring civil, I mean, you know, I think there's going to be an issue. One of the things I hope with the civil rights legislation is that it gives victims who are denied justice on the state level and in the family law courts an option to go to federal district courts. Because I don't know a single protective parent who is trying to save a child from child sexual abuse or violence ever to really prevail. Every case I ever had representing mothers or fathers in custody cases when the child was being sexually abused or violated, I never won a single case, not once.
Yeah.
And so it leads me to believe that there is federal money and federal incentives to keep families united, whether they're raping the children, beating the children, physically or psychologically assaulting children. And so I believe that because you got this federal law passed, which is off the charts, congratulations, wow, it is going to start to fold in each state. I think the last frontier is believing mothers, and I do say mothers, I have had fathers as clients, who are, we say to women, to people, do, if you see something, do something, say something, but we
right.
do nothing. And the courts and the judges are so into disbelieving protective parents that the protective parents I know that have fought to save their children have lost custody or have been required to have supervised visitation. And so when
exactly.
mothers call me, Annalyn, I don't know what to say to them. Because I think the family law court system is broken beyond repair, and that women and children are completely thrown under the bus when it comes to this. So we say to mothers, why don't you do something? Why don't you say something? And then they spend their life savings. They mortgage their houses. They do
yeah.
everything they can to save this child, and they're mm. disbelieved, and they lose custody. And so I don't know what to say to protective parents. What do you recommend?
Me?
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what. I just wanted – I was going to hand that question over to Randy, but what you just said, Sherry, and Randy told me that in the very beginning, he said, Lisa, you're going to have a lot of obstacles. You're going to have a lot of opposition.
Yeah.
The people are going to – you know, ignore you, they're going to hang up on you, and they did all that, but I just kept going and going, and he said little by little they're going to listen to you, and then little by
yep.
little they're going to say, hey, that's a good idea, and then little by
yep.
little they're going to say, hey, that was their idea. Now when I call all over Washington, they already know who I am when I call, and that's a pretty cool
exactly.
thing.
Exactly.
So they know what the issue is, they know what the Villanova report on court-ordered rape is. And if you want to talk about broken family courts, the man of the hour here is Mr. Randy Burton, and I'm sure he could.
So,
talk
Randy,
about the
hour. What do you
yeah.
think? I mean, what do you think? What, you know?
Well, I think the only way that you have any chance or hope of success in the family courts is to bring attention to what's going on in that particular court, and of course. The family courts in general. That means using the media. In Texas, as in some other states, our judges are elected. They're overwhelmingly corrupt. They
yeah.
solicit campaign donations, quote unquote, from the bench. And so if you're a father and you have the means to hire a good attorney, whereas the mother who may have raised the children and sacrificed her career to be the stay-at-home mom, you don't stand a chance against those moneyed interests. What you do if you represent the father is you go out and find out who his campaign manager was or who plays poker with him and loses every Friday night. It's an under-the-table way of pushing money in the direction of the judges.
God. But that's why we need federal civil rights so that we get out of the local state courts
mm-hmm.
and into some district courts that we hope have some
elevated judges? Because this sounds like Roy Moore. It sounds like, I mean, it's making me ill.
Because they're elected, what you do is you humiliate them in the press. And you have to have lawyers who are tough enough to be able to fade the heat, who are willing to recuse a judge until such time as they're able to get a moderately fair judge, maybe from another county, to come in. Because these judges have these monetary relationships with, I mean, I can tell you off the top of my head in the Houston area who are the biggest donors to these campaigns. And they're also the most successful attorneys in those courts, some of them because they're talented, but a lot of them because they have made damn sure that the judge knows where his reelection money is coming from. But I think the only thing that affects a judge is media and the chance that he's going to or she is going to be poured out or is going to have a grievance filed with the Judicial Ethics Commission, those kind of things. And people have to be prepared to play dirty. They cannot just roll over. And that's what happens is all these people are dependent on these few judges for their living. The way the judge rules will make or break their case. So they will sacrifice their client willingly, despite what the rules of ethics are, to zealously represent your client in order to protect their relationship with the judge. It's an incestuous relationship. It's profoundly evil. Back in the early 90s, I worked with HBO, who put on a hour documentary called Women on Trial, and it was one of these part of their America Undercover series. And what we did was we showed four different judges in Harris County. It was all about the Houston area, who had made horrible decisions that result where children were subsequently murdered, and despite compelling evidence and that kind of thing. So I think those are the kinds of things. I mean, I was sued by these judges, but I won all those cases because they're public figures and it's what I told was the truth. But I think those are the only things that you can do to really get their attention, and you have to get their attention or your client doesn't stand a chance.
Absolutely. If I may real quick just interject and interrupt, we are a little over halfway through the show. I do want to tell our listeners tonight, you may have tuned in expecting a single special guest sharing a story. Tonight we have a panel of four people that are just going to be sharing amazing insights on a multitude of different things, all centered around or mostly centered around the sexual abuse issue, court order rape being the vein that has brought all this together this evening. And I just want to welcome you and thank you for listening both tonight and in the future as you go back and listen to this cast. If you are listening, we do have a very large panel, but we are willing to bring in some more. Our guest call-in number is 646-595-2118. You're welcome to join the panel. And I want to, our four special speakers tonight here, I do want to say that I believe we in about 10-15 minutes, I'd like to at least open the mics of each panelist that is patiently waiting so they maybe ask some questions or give some insights, if that's okay with all of you.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I have a comment, Charlie. I have a comment in response to something that Randy just said. And I actually read the case, Huckabee versus Time Warner, and, wow, that judge was just silly. That's not my comment. But he raises the issue of how these public officials and these judges are in incestuous relationships. And oddly enough, my friend Greg G., after all these years, I still can't say his name, Greg G., he's a civil attorney. He does predominantly clergy abuse cases out of New Jersey. In fact, he had a prisoner sued by the Catholic Church recently. That was something. But I had a conversation with Greg about the situation in New Jersey, and this has to do with Senator Nicholas Scutari. Now, Nicholas Scutari is a civil attorney. We know that. He, if I'm not mistaken, he is the chairman of the Judiciary Committee in New Jersey. Now, when New Jersey recently opened up the civil statute of limitations for sex abuse survivors to sue whoever their abusers were, institutional abuse and enabling and so forth, the senator was on top of that like bite on rice because, well, he had a financial incentive. We don't have to hide that. We don't have to be secretive about that. But wait a minute. Now the court-ordered rape issue in New Jersey is looming. There's three bills pending. People don't quite know what to do with that, particularly the Attorney General, Gerber Gruhl. Now, I don't know where they found him, but he was the DA in Bergen County, New Jersey, where the judge sat who ordered, who wrote four court orders to have new rape. And yet, he's now surrounded by reporters and legislators and congresspeople. Every congressperson in the state of New Jersey is now aware of this issue, and Gerber Gruhl still disavows knowledge of all of it. He's a clown. He has to go. He is a victim-silencing, perpetrator-enabling criminal, and I hope all of Washington hears me say that. Getting back to Senator Scutari, I had a conversation with Greg, I don't know, yesterday, and I said, here's my concern. He is a civil attorney, and his staff, his legislative director told me personally, well, he has to research this issue. He has to talk to numerous DAs to see where he falls on this issue. Where he falls on this issue, it's a felony. It's a Fourth Amendment violation. He's a civil attorney. What's he upset about? Voting for this law and then pissing off some judges who are not going to go his way when he has a case in front of him? What are we doing here? Now I'm pissed off. You pissed me off, Greg. Thank you. I appreciate that. Thanks for being here. But that's what I have to say about incestuous relationships with judges and legislators. And, you know, what are we doing here? And that's the problem in New Jersey. And they're still disavowing knowledge of it. And it's crawling all over them like cockroaches. And I'm glad I'm out of there, but I'm watching it from afar. And, you know, good for them. They had it coming. Back to you, Charlie. Thank you.
Well, I'm going to give it over to our other panelists, Sherry, Anna Lynn, or Randy. Anything you want to add on to what?
I wanted to mention one thing about the situation with judges. If we're talking about family court cases, dealing with a way for there to be some accountability, that seems to be a concern, especially when you're looking at protecting innocent children from further harm. One of the difficulties is if it's in a family court setting, anything you're doing to challenge this person who's been put in a position of almost being like a little god over the life and safety of your child can be severely intimidating to the protective parent, as Sherry's brought those issues up. And Randy, as well, as you've seen, what can be done to bring some accountability at the state level, locally implementing any kind of federal civil rights for child sexual abuse victims and adult sex abuse victims?
Well, I've been trying to wrap my head around this ever since I spoke with Sherry. The problem with, for example, the 42 USC 1983, which is the primary statute that people sue for civil rights violations, is the civil rights are being brought against an official, some person who under the color of a statute and who has the authority under law subjects a citizen and deprives them of a right, privilege, or immunity. And so that law should apply to, for example, Children's Protective Services, family court judges, just like it has been repeatedly applied to police officers. But there was a devastating case, unfortunately, written by Sandra Day O'Connor. I think it should go on her tombstone, called the Cheney versus Winnebago County Social Services, where a lawsuit was filed against CPS, who knew about a litany of serious felonious abuse against this little boy, took no action, and he was beaten so severely that he lived, but he has permanent brain damage. And they brought suit under Section 1983, and what she wrote for the non-attorneys was that the state has no duty whatsoever to protect victims from prospective crimes, even when it's a foregone conclusion like it was in DeShaney. And to me, it was so devastating to even when you look at the domestic violence cases, because there's been a fair amount of successful prosecution against police officers for failing to remove a
violating parent, right? A violating spouse, exactly.
Right, but this has really taken the teeth out of 1983, and I'm wondering. I mean, certainly there would be a valid exercise to try to get a constitutional amendment passed, but given the problems that we have with many conservative states, I applaud Sherry for doing this. I wonder if it is easier to pass some. Something like 1983, but that is a straight-up federal statute that provides reimbursement for attorney's fees and expert fees. There is this statute called the Private Attorney General Statute, which is 28 U.S.C. 1988, and that has to do with It still has to do with the vindication of civil rights, but I dare a judge to tell me that a child does not have a constitutional right under the First Amendment to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, and that means not being beaten to death or raped.
Right.
Oh, boy.
Exactly.
Randy, if I may, this is Charlie. Randy,
yeah.
If you know any of my story, you just hit a nail. You just hit a 10-penny nail dead center of those who don't know. And I'm just kidding, this isn't about me tonight, but my brother was murdered in a foster home where 10 months before another child died in the same home, and no one to this day, 52 years later, has been held accountable for either one of those boys' deaths.
Right.
So I understand this completely. Anyway, back to our panel.
Wow, Charlie. Okay, so here's the thing, Randy, without getting too legalistic. The Supreme Court ruled in Bowers versus Hardwick that gay and lesbian and LGBTQ marriage was unconstitutional. And then when the public got on board, when there was huge cases breaking, they rewrote a new opinion and did a new case with new plaintiffs 15 years later. So I am less there's also another terrible case for survivors, and that's U.S. versus Morrison, where I believe it was Clarence Thomas who wrote the opinion, who said that being a victim of domestic violence or being beaten doesn't affect interstate commerce, and therefore you don't have jurisdiction in federal courts. The only thing I can do is I'm not thinking about a constitutional amendment that has to be adopted by all 50 states.
50 states can't even agree on whether you have to register or do a background check for guns.
Exactly.
So they can't even agree on whether we're going to even do a red flag law. And so I'm not even thinking about a constitutional amendment. They still haven't passed the ERA. We're two states short or whatever. If the ERA passes, this will be a lot easier. But I do think with Epstein, Weinstein, all the other Steens and the, Matt Lauers and the, you name it, that
right.
There has become a huge public awareness that victims of sexual violence do not receive justice, and that these child victims of Epstein's receive no justice. And so I think that we not only have to look at media, because media will only kind of follow what's already moving around. We have
right.
to also look at cultural changes and at public opinion and at getting people to understand this issue. That people, every person I have talked to for a while was like, I don't understand what you're complaining about. Isn't that already illegal? Don't children already have rights? They were like shocked that there's no, like when I told someone, in the family law court, if you're the mother, and you're trying to protect your child from being sexually abused or incested by the father on weekend visitations, you're likely to lose custody and he's likely to get custody. And, the protective parent is the one that's got the most at stake and the most to lose and has the greatest exposure and legal expense. And they looked at me horrified. Like they didn't even understand it. They were like shocked. So I think that that along with the civil rights, and I need to talk to you off this show, Randy, about some legal stuff. We need to do. But
I think it's doable. I may have forgotten that you, even though it's a Civil Rights Act, it actually is a statute as opposed to a constitutional amendment, correct?
Exactly. It's a statute. It's federal legislation.
Yeah.
It's not a constitutional amendment because I do not have enough years ahead of me go through states like New Jersey and Alabama and Georgia and California to go state by state and hold my breath. This is federal legislation. So I specifically took the amendment off because I knew that would take forever. But one of the things I'm hoping is if we can get this one piece, and they'll test it in the courts, but while they're testing it, we start weaving in court-ordered rape. We start weaving in, why doesn't the victim of a rape who gives birth to a child, why isn't that a civil right for the mother and the child to not be victimized again by having to have forced visitation, forced joint custody?
Right.
You should have a civil right not to have that. Forget the family law courts. They are broken. The foster care system is broken. And
exactly.
I thought the way that we might be able to start rebuilding was to at least acknowledge that child citizens have civil rights. There's nothing in the Constitution that doesn't say children don't have First Amendment, Fourth Amendment, Fifth Amendment rights. No one wants to talk about it. No one wants to really address it. But there's nothing, like you said, Randy, that deprives children of constitutional rights. Well, children are not treated as if they have any rights. And even as adult survivors that are victimized as children, we are treated like we have no rights. And so if we can at least start edging away at thank you, Charlie. Because if we can start having a recognition that child sexual abuse victims, the most basic harm, basic, of course, to all of us, should have a civil right not to be sexually abused as a child, I think we can start building on that platform and start threading in. I think family law courts will start looking a lot differently if they have civil rights actions filed against judicial rulings. Children
no question.
Are saying, just like when police violate your rights, if we give attorneys fees so that lawyers are motivated to take these cases,
Then we give, we really put this, we set this on fire. And that's my dream. That's my destiny. That's my legacy. And I just am so grateful for Annalyn and Lisa and you, Randy, and Bill Murray. I mean, thank you. I feel like what Annalyn said to me, that I'm screaming in the wind.
Right. If,
I'm going to keep screaming in the wind.
We have some panelists who have been patiently waiting in the wings as our spirited and amazing four special guest panelists tonight have been. So I'm going to go ahead and give each one of our panelists, I'm going to fire up their microphone, I'm going to introduce who they are, and I'm going to bring them into the conversation one at a time, and then back them out, and then I move on to the next. So the first one I'm going to bring in to the conversation is Lisa out of Massachusetts. Lisa Z, welcome into the panel.
Charlie.
Is anything you'd like to talk to our other guests this evening about?
Yeah, thank you. I just wanted to say a couple of brief things because I know there's a lot of people. But first of all, to Lisa, of course, for bringing this all about. You have such passion and such drive to take care of business, and I applaud you for all that you're doing because you are a voice, and always remember that. And
I
to Sherry, Randy.
I feel the same way. Lisa, honest
yes.
to God, Lisa, you are a force to be reckoned with, and I am grateful I came across you in my path in life. Thank you.
Dude, Lisa, you're wonderful.
Go ahead, Lisa. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. I'm glad you put that out there because she is wonderful and she's doing such a fabulous job. But I wanted to say to you, Sherry, Randy, and Annalyn, thank you for bringing all of these, you know, pushing for all these new laws and trying to make changes, because by listening to all of this, what I think back is my own childhood. I am an adult survivor of child abuse. I had zero rights. Nobody listened to me. I lived in silence. So what I'm saying to all of you is thank you for breaking the silence, because as we all raise our voices and advocate, that's what we're doing. And we will make change happen. I do believe that. I see it coming. You see things happening. But thank you for every one of you for all you're doing, and please keep it all up. And I will let you guys move forward because I know there's many people, but thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lisa.
Thank you. Thank you, Lisa Z. Before I introduce my next panelist, I was speaking down in Washington, D.C. several years ago at the National Law Enforcement Memorial, and I wasn't getting very much attention except from our little group of people. And I was like, man, what can I say to grab people's attention? And this is what I was given, and I carry it, and it's my byline now. The only adult that is not responsible for child abuse intervention and prevention is any adult that was never a child. So with that being said,
That's good.
I'm going to move on to Laura. Laura, out of our other co-host and in training, Laura, you're on.
Hi, Charlie. Amen to your byline. I loved it from the first time I heard it, and it really hits home. And our special guest, Lisa, you are a force to be reckoned with. And I just hope that people hear you and take action from your words, because you know what you're talking about, and you are amazing. Thank you.
Thank you, Laura. Thank you.
Laura, what power in your voice tonight, Laura? Woo, go, girl. Power's coming out of there.
We're firing up the base.
Absolutely, absolutely. And our next guest panelist I'm bringing on is Carol, the Vice President of NASCA out of New Jersey. Good evening, Carol. Welcome to the panel.
Good evening. And I too, am a Lisa fan. I love her like my little sister. Yes, I do. She is powerful. And I thank her for getting all of this in 2019. I feel like our voices may be heard, okay? I think I feel good about all of this. I feel positive. I do want to bring forth something that Randy said. Randy Burton, you bet. And it's about the media. Now, listen here. In Vermont, there's this judge that let a young boy be, he was victimized, he was sodomized, everything that could possibly happen to this young boy. And the judge gave his the man that abused him probation. That was it. Okay.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Now, I am a victim also. I am a survivor. I'm a thriver, and I'm an activist, and this made me very, very angry. So what happened was Fox 5, I believe it was Fox 5, chased this judge. I don't care if he went to the bathroom. They were in there. You speak about the media? They chased him home. They were all over him for day after day after day after day, and finally he stepped down. So I just want to let you know that, you know, there is, with the media, okay, good things can happen, because this man was taunted by the media because of what happened to this little boy and the fact that his abuser only got probation. Now, that is what made me write my book, okay, Panic Child, because I wanted people to know that when children are abused, they are ruined, okay. So many things happen to them spiritually, mentally, physically, emotionally, and we do not have a voice, okay? So I feel good about this show tonight because finally we have people who care. I see the passion of everyone here, and thank you so much. And Lisa, you rock. You know that. Thank you.
Thank you, Carol. I'm going to move on. Our next guest is another New Jerseyan. Greg from New Jersey, you're on with the panel.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. I think this is an incredible show, and Lisa is an incredible person, as all of the people on this show are. So it's just an honor to be part of you guys and be part of the child abuse movement. But I will say this. I don't know if any of your callers know. I know Lisa does. New Jersey's statute of limitations, New Jersey's one of the few states to open up the statute of limitations, not just for childhood victims of sexual assault, but for adult victims of sexual assault.
They did
so
two-year window, right?
Great state.
Yeah,
a two-year window, that is correct. Yeah,
they
absolutely
did a two-year window.
Now,
okay, yeah. Yeah, that's good.
Oh, yeah.
Really good.
Our state is we call it the Victims' Rights Act. And it was passed through the efforts of victims, survivors like my friend Mark Crawford, who Lisa knows, and Senator Vitale championed this legislation for a long time. And I think it's great. But it's only because of people like the people on this, like you guys, who have made this possible in New Jersey. But Lisa's right. We have more. We have a lot further to go. We've got to eliminate this kind of court-ordered rape. It's not. It has to be stopped. The victims should not be. They should be protected in the court system, and they should know that the court system is a safe place, and not a place that they should hide from.
Right.
That's the only way we're going to get true justice
absolutely
in this country.
Definitely.
Yep.
Absolutely, Greg.
Thank you.
Thank
Greg,
you, Greg.
I think you and I might have actually met.
Thanks, guys. Thanks, Lisa.
Our next guest we're going to bring into the panel is my co-host tonight, who's been patiently waiting nearly an hour. Tammy, welcome into the panel. And I'm going to leave your mic on, Tammy, when we're done here.
Well, thank you very much, Charlie. I really appreciate that. And I'm just, you know, I'm here to support Lisa. She's very passionate about the court order rape, and we've talked about that in detail throughout the show. And also, I'm glad you guys brought up the issue of civil rights for children. That's something I really hadn't thought about until lately. I know that's the heated ticket item for us here at NASCA, and I really appreciate all the discussion on this. So, great job, everybody. Let's keep the momentum going. Thank you.
Thanks, Tammy.
Thank you.
Thank you, Tammy.
Thank you, Tammy. And next is Joe from Oregon. Joe, you're on the panel.
Hi. Lisa, thank you so much for creating this opportunity for all of us to witness history in the making. Thank you. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Wow.
Wow.
That's
few
you,
words
Lisa?
Of power.
I agree with that.
Well, now we're going to bring in Bobby from Florida. Bobby, you are on with the panel. All right, Bobby. Well, Bobby sometimes mutes his mic out of respect to the fact of the background noise. So we'll come back to Bobby later. We're going to go to Stacy out of Kansas. Stacy out of Kansas is up next. Hey, Stacy, you're on with the panel.
Hi, guys. I also want to say that it's my destiny to make history. But I don't know if that I'm going to be able to do that, but I know that with Lisa by my side is the reason I've got as far as I have. And I'm actually a survivor victim of this certain particular thing as we speak. I've lost my child. And I'm now having to do things I would never do just to have her in my life. And it's horrible.
Well, we're holding you up in our thoughts and prayers.
We all know that's what we're fighting for. And you all, this call is made. Me, no, I'm still going.
Well, we're here to support you, Stacy. You know that.
Thank
so
you, Lisa,
thank you for
thank
coming
you,
in.
Hang
You're
in
welcome.
There, Stacy. And you know what, Stacy? Let me say this to you. Even though the fight is really, really hard, when your child gets older, your child's going to know that you went, you know, to the mat to try to help them and save them and do something. You know what I'm saying? That will reveal itself. So you keep on going. I mean, there are so many of us whose mothers never fought for us. So you're a hero. I mean, I don't want you to blame yourself or feel terrible about yourself. I mean, you love your child, and how many women and parents wouldn't do anything for their child? And, you know, you're doing the best that you can.
I can't imagine a mother not doing everything she can.
My mother
Absolutely.
Did not do everything she can. What she did is she did everything she could to hand me over to my predators. My mother didn't stand up for me even one time.
I'm sorry.
She never, not even one time. So you're a hero to me. You know what I mean, Stacy? You got to remember, there are millions of us that didn't have you. Millions. And so, no.
Absolutely.
Well, I
would even
fight
though it's
for
hard,
every one of you. I will fight for all of them.
All right.
And Jerry,
well,
you hang in there and you.
I'm
hang in there,
Stacy. I'm continuing to work with Stacy on this issue. And she was on a show not too long ago, just very quickly. Marilee McLean, who wrote the book Prosecuted But Not Silenced. I invited her on the show tonight, but she had a conflict. Prosecuted But Not Silenced, and it's the story about how the courts just hand over the child to the abuser, taken away from the protective parent who's absolutely sapped financially. And this is a situation Stacy is in now, and that's another subject for another show, but I'm glad she's here tonight to hear this. And
absolutely.
Talk tomorrow, Stacy. Back to you, Charlie. Thank
Absolutely.
You.
You're very welcome. I do have two more panelists to get in here. We've got William from Alabama. William, you're on with the panel. Hello, William from Alabama. You're on with the panel.
Yeah. They touched on some good subjects there. There was quite a bit that they touched on, and a lot of it had to do with the juvenile justice and the court systems. And even when they're talking about civil rights, and here's the thing, most under the constitutional laws and things like that, you're entitled to court appointed, but only in a criminal case and not in a civil case. And some of the attorneys
right.
can tell you about that.
Right.
I'm a legal
right.
assistant.
That's right.
Unless it's termination of parental rights, then they typically will appoint an attorney. But the appointed attorney system sucks. They're under the thumb of the judge.
I said that better myself, Randy.
I'm sorry? I couldn't hear you.
I couldn't have said that better myself.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, William, thank you for being here this evening. So I want to thank all our panelists that have had their mics muted most of the evening and have been patiently waiting. I really, truly appreciate you. My last but definitely not least panelist has been patiently waiting is Bill of president of NASCA, founder of NASCA. Bill, welcome to the panel.
Well, you know, Charlie, it warms my heart to have a show like this. I've been saying this for years. The issue of the civil rights of children being violated, it really doesn't have to be addressed as a statute or as a change in the Constitution. It is constitutional. A case or two might have to get to the Supreme Court to prove this, but children are citizens of the U.S., and they have every right, all the rights that any other citizen has, and they're being denied the opportunity to, you know, access those rights. That's all. We don't need a new law. We just need them recognized as a class, that children do deserve the rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. They have all the constitutional rights that any other person does. So I've been saying this for years. I'm really, really happy that some of the dialogue has been expressed the way it has tonight. And I want to thank, you know, everybody that's been on the show, and especially our, you know, of course, Lisa, but also Sherry, Anna Lynn, and Randy for, you know, bringing some clarity to the issue for some people and, you know, and giving some thoughts, you know, livening some thoughts for others. But it's a terrific show. Thank you very much, Charlie. And I'm delighted that we've been able to do this again.
But Charlie,
absolutely,
this is Randy. Can I,
thank you.
Charlie,
ahead,
can
Randy.
I follow up on something that Bill said?
Absolutely.
What we're talking about is ultimately political. But right now, our civil rights as a country are being rolled back by the judicial appointments to the courts of appeals that are...
Oh, God, I know.
And, that, for example, I tried to do a class action lawsuit and tried to bring in some of the best constitutional scholars in the country, and every one of them said, even if we win at the federal trial court level, the district court level, we will lose before the Fifth Circuit because they've never seen a civil rights case that they like. And the appointments that are being made by the U.S. Senate right now are killing us. I'm telling you, these people are not, they don't give a flip about civil rights. So, I mean, everything we're talking about, even the statutes and so forth that we're discussing are ultimately political issues, and we have to be engaged this next election in what's going to happen to our country, because there have been, I want to say, 40% of all the positions in the courts of appeals and district courts that have been appointed in these first 3 years by this
149
judge.
149 judges. 149.
Yeah, they were prevented.
159.
Yeah. None of the appointments under the previous president were all roadblocked. And if you care about civil rights, you have got to be involved politically, because it won't matter what we're doing if we can't get a judge to listen to what we're saying because they don't care. They'll say, appeal me. Appeal me to the Fifth Circuit or appeal me to the...
No, I know. I mean, you know what? It's the most devastating part of this whole thing, Randy, is that 149 federal appellate court and district court judges have been appointed. Some of these judges have never even tried a case in front of the federal court or tried any case. They've never litigated a case. And they're supremely incompetent. And civil rights is not on their agenda. So one of the things I'm thinking about, just exactly what you're thinking about, and I open this to Bill and I open this to Charlie and Tammy and Lisa and Carol and Joe and Bobby and Stacy, all of us, is that I think part of the political power of survivors is a voter registration drive, that we have not been a political clout. Nope. Like when I went to see senators in D.C.
we have not been a political force they've had to deal with. We have not been the 18 and 19-year-old Parkland students that are saying we're registering people to vote. We are a political force you're going to have to deal with. So on the debate stage, sexual violence, sexual harassment, child sex abuse never came up. Women's rights never came up. And so until the survivor community decides that we are a political force, we're not going to have the impact.
Folks, we do, just real quick, my amazing panel and listeners, we do have just a little, about 5 minutes left of the show, believe it or not, an hour and a half does fly by real quick. I've heard a lot. I want to throw this at our four panelists, our special guest panelists tonight. I've studied the United Nations Convention on the Rights of a Child for many years. I'm sure I'm going to get some spirited debate about this, but I find it interesting for our listeners that aren't aware. Look up UNCRC and find out the only country currently that has not adopted it is the country that we're sitting in right now.
Somalia
and the United States. Yeah. Somalia is now. Okay.
Yes, Somalia has passed it. I keep my finger on the pulse of it.
Oh God.
So now we are the, yeah. And what the UNCRC is, I'll just tell real quick, it's the United Nations Convention on the Rights of a Child. It gives the rights, actually, as Bill said earlier, he's correct, our Constitution should already give that to children, but the UNCRC clarifies it, and it gives children ability to have their own voice. So us adults now, when we were children, our voice would have been listened to if this was passed. If this thing gets pushed through, many presidents have promised to do something. None of them have done anything with it yet. But read about it. Yeah, it has some issues. It has some things. But I've studied it in several other countries I've traveled to, and its effects on the children there where it has been approved. And everywhere I've seen better good than bad. But, yes, when government gets involved, things go awry. But, anyway, that's my piece on that. I'm going to be quiet because we only have a few minutes, and I want to allow the rest of the panel to take time out.
Thanks, Charlie.
And there was silence. Where'd everybody go? I got crickets.
Oh. Okay, so we thought you wanted the panel. I thought you wanted your – okay, so there's a lot of work we need to – together we're stronger, and I really want to say thank you to Bill Murray for doing these podcasts on behalf of child victims of abuse. And for putting this whole thing together and for fighting this fight for 30 years. I mean, special honors to him. Thank you for introducing me to Lisa. I'm just awed by the people and what you're all getting done, and it's really inspirational. What do you all think about a voter registration for survivors, for children, you know, registering 18-year-olds that have been victims of online sexual bullying and sexual harassment?
That's a great idea. I think it's a great idea, and
okay.
I apologize
for
interrupting. We do have just a little less than 3 minutes, so I want to make sure each of our special guests has a chance to say a word to Randy, if you don't mind.
Well, I just want to thank you for the opportunity and the forum. Great people here. It does show us that there are strength in numbers, and we just have to surround ourselves with positive thinking people who are getting things done.
Absolutely. Anna,
right.
And
Anna,
how about you?
Thank you.
So I was going to get you last, brother.
Go ahead.
I want to thank you so much. Lisa, thank you so much for inviting me, for inviting all of us here to gather together. I really cannot thank you enough for this. And what a wonderful opportunity we have to really bond together and work together for solutions. I think that the next generation is going to say that we did something to change it instead
Absolutely.
Of just turning a blind eye and walking away from it.
Absolutely. I am winding down on 90 seconds, so let me get Sherry in here real quick. Sherry, then I got to get Bill.
Thank you for having me, and together we can rise and be strong, and we can roar together. And I want to pass a legacy on to the next generation that we did take action and do something for them instead of sending them like lambs to slaughter the way we were sent.
Thank you
for having me.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lisa, for your work, and thank all of you. You're incredible.
Yeah,
I want to say, Charlie, that from my perspective, you know, looking from a little bit of a distance about this, but really knowledgeable about all these issues, we are making progress. And unfortunately, we'd all like to make really fast changes. That's just simply not going to happen. It's not how these things happen. We're already passing on a better generation to the next group. But there's every reason to hope that, you know, someday we will reach enough people. Exactly what we're doing tonight is what we need to do. We need to bring the issue up. We need to discuss it. And the more people that we have discussing it, the better we'll eventually be. And we will pass legislation if needed, but also we'll get it into the mindset that children are not being treated correctly, you know, and they are not treated.
Absolutely.
It's a class. They're a class.
Absolutely.
Okay. Folks,
thanks
very much.
You're welcome. We are down to a few seconds. Listen, you hear an echo because I open up every mic. What I want to do right now, I want all of our guests on this to start clapping and give a standing ovation to our amazing special guest tonight, Lisa out of New York City. So all mics are open at once. Let's give Lisa a standing ovation.
Yay!
Thank you so
all
much.
Right.
Thank you so much. What a powerhouse. Folks, this has been...
Good girl, Lisa.
I am going to have to mute the mic so I can close the show out. I am going to mute the mic. Folks, this has been the Stop Child Abuse Now radio show brought to you by the National Association of Adult Survivors of Child Abuse. Make it a great night. We'll see you tomorrow evening. Take care and be blessed.
You are forgotten after all that you've done. Another tomorrow that's gone.
Blog Talk Radio.